Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Courtney is off and back at jury duty. It's a Bruins Thursday, so we are going to get to Mike Milbury coming up at 9. Before that, the 12 days of Chris Curtismas in about 40 minutes at 8:45. This is Dave from Nashua. Hello, Dave.
Morning, guys.
What's up?
I was just wondering if, last week I heard Danielle on the radio, and she didn't seem like she was too happy with Curtis. And I was just wondering if Curtis was to Danielle what Pebbles was to Wiggy.
Oh, no, I think Curtis and Danielle had a, had a great relationship.
Yeah.
We had a big hug. Everything's good.
Yeah. Danielle's no backstabber. No. That is 100%.
No, she is not.
Hell no.
No, she is
difference
not.
Between
Do
that.
Do you get a Christmas card from Pebbles?
No. And I don't need one
at all. You don't want one?
No, nah, you
that
know.
That would be nice.
There's a lot of snakes in this world, Greg. You come across them.
Maybe you could mend that fence at some point.
No.
This is the time of the season when people do that.
I never mend fences with people
Who broke them?
No. Oh. I mean, you know, there's some fences but with people who try to take food off your table.
Yeah, no, that's not a good thing.
No,
especially in your case and mine.
Yes, once you cross that line, you know I love my food.
You don't touch the food.
No.
And here's the issue with Wiggy is that I have worked with him a while. He does not have enemies.
No.
Like, he doesn't take things personally.
Nope.
He is who he is on the air, off the air. It's all the same. If you have a problem with Wiggy, it's on you.
Yeah.
Well,
life's too short to have
I'll tell you one thing. You have a problem with him, you're going to have to go through me first.
There you go.
Ooh, and I met someone recently at a Greg Hill event who shared Wiggy's sentiments on this person.
What?
The bowling event. The DJ and I.
Oh, yeah. Oh yes.
We spoke at length. Yes. He said, I am on Wiggy's side entirely.
Yes.
And I said, me too. Team Wiggy.
Yes, you did. All right. We got to get back to they said it. Where do you want to go, Sean?
Well, Greg, I know Wiggy was amped up about the Boston Red Sox trading for Garrett Crochet. A step in the right direction. Maybe didn't sign a big free agent yet. Didn't actually spend cash. But they spent prospects.
Curtis is not happy because they haven't spent money yet. And I understand that. But this is a big deal. Like, as I said earlier, this is the golden dong that was available for you when it comes to an ace, and you got him.
Yeah.
And he's only 25.
Yep.
And so you got him for 2 years, short money.
Right.
Like, it's, you know, if you can get Burns and you can spend that money.
Right.
Then you are going to win the division.
There's a lot of things that you could still do, which I still think they're going to do because, like you said, the trade is great, but they still, it seems like, all right, there's pieces out there in free agency that could obviously help you.
Yeah. Well, but anyway, go ahead.
Well, with the Garrett Crochet trade, we heard from Craig Breslow and how excited he is to bring Crochet to Boston.
Feel like we got a legitimate number one starter in Garrett, left-handed, ton of swing and miss, massive strikeouts, and feel like the best is still in front of him. So, you know, we're excited about what he brings, and obviously, you know, we needed to trade really good players in order to be able to do this, but that's the cost right now. You know, and we're very much focused on what we were able to get, you know, the excitement that we have around adding him to the rotation. You know, it adds depth, it adds quality, you know, bona fide ace, you know, and someone like that, like I said, that we feel, you know, is going to continue to improve. Really excited about getting him into our pitching infrastructure, getting a chance for him to work with Bales, you know, and winning a bunch of games at Fenway Park for us.
When it comes to having the prospects to do a deal like this, Curtis, you mentioned Heim Bloom, but do you give some credit to Dave Dombrowski too?
Yeah, I think, listen, this is a great, yesterday was a great day. I'm happy Wiggy's right. I think that they're making the right decisions. This is obviously, people that know far more about baseball than I do like the move. I'm just saying, if you're going to have $700 million sitting on the table that Juan Soto doesn't take, there are a lot of guys out there right now that you could spend it on and get your team in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think they still have to do that. Like, I think everybody's happy with the move, but it looks like you...
Well, some are whining about the move because you gave up prospects and they're calling him a rental. Like, a rental is a half a season guy in my mind, mm-hmm. not a 2-year guy, but people are like...
And you could still sign him to a long-term
right.
deal.
You can. You
but know, what is a rental?
Are they going to be willing to pay? We're going to be back at that point, mm-hmm. point again with this team.
But what does a rental generally mean when teams go and get rentals?
Well, I think it generally means it's till the end of the season. It's at trade deadline time.
No, but
it's
what's their thought process when they go get rentals?
When.
Yeah. So if you're going to get a rental and you're thinking of winning, and that means... Who you should still be in the market of signing guys that can help you win now, whether that is like a Bregman or a Corbin Burns, where it's like, oh, we now have a rental that can help us, two legitimate aces. We might lose one because he is a rental,
yeah.
but we still have the other guy, but it gives us the best chance to win now.
I also think it's beneficial that this guy is a pitcher, because as you notice with like the Max Fried deal, pitching contracts aren't out of control in the same way that hitter contracts are with the Juan Soto deal. So I think they'd probably be much more willing to swallow a big pitcher contract than they would be for $700 million for Juan Soto.
But I would say that Fried just signed the biggest deal of any left-hander in the history of baseball.
Baseball, so it was a pretty big deal.
No, I know it's a big deal, but I mean, comparatively,
$18 million.
Yeah, but compared to Juan Soto, it's, you know, it's like, what, a third of the price?
Well, Greg is a big deal, too. I mean,
that's true.
All right, what's next, Shane?
Well, we can actually hear from Juan Soto's agent and the agent of many baseball players, Scott Boras, at the winter meetings, talking about how players view the Red Sox and their interest in the current free agent market.
I have ownership's directly involved, and you know, Brez has been certainly out to visit me a lot, and their direction and hope, I think, is registered. I think the results are more hopeful than what's happened to date, but obviously they're certainly a part of the process. It's the Boston Red Sox, and I think a lot of players covet and value that market, and they have an opportunity to be very successful.
Okay. Well, we'll find out. If the money is there and there's no reluctance on the part of players to come to the organization for whatever reason, then they ought to be able to get one of these deals or maybe two of them done.
Right. And I don't think it seems like it, just like following the sports, I feel like baseball and hockey, it's really like, guys don't look at Boston like, oh, I wouldn't want to go there and play. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're in football and basketball. You always lean, see, like, you know, Boston's not a huge destination for these guys, like, for whatever the reasons are. But I feel like in baseball and hockey, I think free agents are like, all right.
What do you mean by that? I mean, they want to go somewhere where they have a chance of winning, right? If the money is equal, they want to go somewhere they have a chance of winning next.
Right, but
always get into the nightlife thing.
Well, I get into those elements of it because it's part of the conversation when we start to talk about just living experiences and all those things. It seems like anytime we talk football and basketball, it becomes maybe Boston isn't the best destination for athletes. Like, they don't necessarily want to go there. We don't really go down that road in baseball and hockey.
That's because in the NFL and the NBA, it's pretty locked in what players are going to get. So it's like there's the cap in the NFL where players are going to go to a relatively same amount of money for each team. So it's about winning early. Your career's not as long. And in basketball, it's all about the same money. So you're easily able to pick where you want to go. It's not like the Lakers can offer something that the Clippers can't.
I could see that being, I guess, a factor when it comes to the Patriots, because if you want to live in the city, mm-hmm. then you got to drive out to Foxborough all the time. I don't think it's an issue with the Red Sox.
But look where guys signed in Green Bay. I mean, it's right, not like Green Bay is right. some like I mean, metropolis.
I get it. You would know better, but right. I just think it's far down on the list. Money being number one.
Yeah.
And a chance to win being number two.
I agree with you.
I mean, Von Miller is in Buffalo right now. Not exactly a hotbed of fun.
No, and Greg, I'll always lean towards money first, and then, you know, that being the most important thing, and then winning second. And then I'm just saying, it's just really a conversation we don't have in the other two sports.
Yeah. Well, I think if the money is there, then they should be, and they want to spend it, which
right.
will be the question that Curtis is asking, then they should be able to go out and get somebody. I should hope. All right. That is They Said It, Shime?
Yes, it is, Greg.
A quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. 12 days of Chris Curtismas in one half an hour at 8:45. Your chance to win. Don't miss the re-gifting today is extraordinary, Curtis.
It really is. And we have bonus re-gifts that yeah. Greg has thrown into the batch here.
Yeah. I think I will re-gift. I got an unbelievable gift from the Red Sox. I got to thank them for that, Curtis. I don't know how they've been so busy wheeling and dealing, pulling off an incredible deal like the one they did yesterday. I don't know how they had time to send the gift.
Yeah,
but I think I will re-gift that for the listeners.
All right.
It's pretty significant.
Right.
I mean, it's a memorabilia.
Right.
That would be perfect for the Red Sox fan in your life.
Yeah. So I'm going to add that because I care about you people when it comes to what we are re-gifting at 8:45. But right now, Shime filling in for Courtney with what is trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
A lot of news in the city over the last 24 hours. The biggest stories being Bill Belichick has become the new head coach of the University of North Carolina Tar Heels. A 5-year deal for the head coach worth, in some reports, $50 million, but the money's not necessarily clear. He's also bringing along his good pal, Mike Lombardi. That happened almost immediately after Bill accepted the job. I think it was Vizen tweeted out, like, congrats to Mike Lombardi for leaving and going with Bill Belichick. The most predictable move on the planet.
Now, speaking of his pals, does he have a job for Nick Saban? Like, well,
maybe an advisor.
Special advisor or something right. like that?
Well, then again, I think Saban's pretty happy with his college game day appearances, so okay. maybe not.
And we don't know the fate of Stephen Belichick yet,
correct?
I think he's the DC.
He will be the DC. That leaves Matt Patricia out in the cold.
Do you think Brian's going to leave the Patriots and head down to UNC as well?
Another great question.
Yeah, I would think so. I think it's going to be – the interesting part will be the offensive side of the football.
Josh McDaniels?
Right. Does Josh McDaniels go to college and say, maybe I coach a couple years there and then I get back in the NFL? So that'll be the interesting part to see what happens.
The other big news in the city, the Red Sox made a massive trade. They traded for Garrett Crochet, a left-handed pitcher from the Chicago White Sox. They sent four prospects, including one of their top prospects, the catching prospect Kyle Teal, in the trade. Garrett Crochet, only a 25-year-old pitcher. He was a first-round pick back in 2020. The Bruins are back in action tonight on the road. They're in Seattle to take on the Kraken. Puck drop for that one is at 10 o'clock tonight. Greg, unfortunately, I don't think we'll be staying up for that one.
No.
The Celtics, though, they have the Pistons at the TD Garden tonight. Tip off for that one's at 7:30. And Thursday
Corpusolo tonight.
I would assume so. Swayman got pummeled in the last game.
I would hope.
I would hope so as well.
Yeah, please.
Thursday Night Football. Another Thursday Night Football has had a great slate of games this year. We get Rams and Niners tonight.
It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, kickoff for that one's at 8:15. Trending Now is brought to you by The 99. Give the perfect gift this year, 99 Restaurant Gift Cards. They're the perfect gift for everyone on your list. For every $25 you purchase, receive a $5 bonus card just for yourself. You got to love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Shine. Feels like 29 out there. Afternoon high in the upper 30s.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gerard Mayo yesterday on the end of the season evaluation process and whether he will be evaluating his coaches, whether he will be evaluated by Robert Kraft. We talked about this the other day, and I don't know where you stand on it. Is he coaching for his job, as Greg Bedard reported?
I don't believe he is.
Is he locked and loaded and ready to go and burn some cash next season?
Who's the biggest loser at this point? I agree with Wiggy. I don't think he gets fired. But who is the biggest loser at this stage through their bye week of this Patriots season?
The biggest loser?
Yeah.
Meaning
like, who looks the worst? Who has had the most damage to what we thought they would be? Who is
Robert?
I agree.
You think it's Robert?
Yeah.
I agree.
I was going to say Elliot Wolf.
Oh, yeah. I guess you. But then people will be like, well, Robert hired him. So you could easily sway me to say.
Yeah, I mean, Robert bumped him up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Bill hired him.
Yeah, you could easily sway me to say Elliot Wolf.
I would say the options are Robert, Mayo, Elliot Wolf. For me, another one, DeMarcus Covington, guy that we thought was going to be something.
No.
And, you know, Alex Van Pelt was there for a while, but I feel like recently he's been sort of one of the brighter spots.
Yeah, I would say a lot of people would either lean towards Elliot Wolf or Robert.
Well, if Gerard Mayo is there to stay, at least for next season, as you are suggesting, and you were him, where would you make changes when it came to your coaching staff? Would you stick with Alex Van Pelt?
You know what?
Because then you have that issue of Drake May and adding another coordinator in his second season.
I would probably roll the dice with the guys I got. And
you would?
And I would be more...
Even DeMarcus Covington?
Yeah, and I would be more aggressive in free agency and getting players. And saying, okay, DeMarcus, is it you or is it we don't have the talent? And then I would give these guys one more season, and then if not, then obviously you would have to make the changes after that.
Yeah, I think Covington is gone. I think that's a way that Gerard Mayo can keep accountability with the defensive side of the ball. I don't know if it's him. I think Alex Van Pelt is here. I think Gerard Mayo is here. I think Brian is gone to UNC. And I know they have to spend money, but this is a huge offseason, and I just don't have faith in Elliot Wolf. Even if Robert says, here's a blank check, do you guys have faith that he's going to find the right people? I don't. Their draft was an abomination. Drake May fell in their lap.
Right.
They had no other choice. It was the only quarterback left. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, Shime loved him, and a lot of people did, but I don't give them credit for sitting there and taking him.
Right, but
Baker and Polk combined have like 87 yards. Like I think they missed in a lot of areas when it came to the draft.
I would tend to agree, but unfortunately, like, I don't know that the Crafts view it that way. I think Elliot Wolf is more safe than Gerard Mayo, specifically because of Drake May.
That would be so asinine.
I agree. I think it's dumb. I think it's stupid, Curtis, because you're right. The rest of the draft class stinks so bad, but I think they will give him credit for Drake May, which is wrong because, as you pointed out, he fell in their laps. They literally fell into him.
And you have to look at it in this way, if you're like a, if you're the front office guy, or you're sitting there with Robert and you're sitting there with Elliot Wolf. All right, so it's simple. Do we believe we're going to win another game all season long? And if you lean towards no, then there's a chance you're going to be in the top three, right? Maybe even close to number one. Now it's, do we trade back to pick up more picks and utilize those picks for potential capital to trade for a potential player? Or do we use those picks to just add more, go and draft more players? Because free agency, it's simple with the wide receiver. It's really T. Higgins, right? So do you like T. Higgins or not?
I would say that, just a quick note on the draft. Yesterday I saw the first mock of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Shime went 6 to midnight and then went right back down.
I've seen like 5 of them. It's been great.
So do you see? Do you know who the hot pick is for the Patriots at 3?
Tetaroa McMillan, I saw a couple places.
In Field Yates's, it was Shime's most overrated of all time, Travis Hunter.
Of course.
So,
yeah, that'd be a dumb pick for the Patriots.
But he should be a lock when it comes. And what you need is, you know, you've got to get somebody who can catch the football.
Yeah, but he's not the best receiver in the draft. But he's not the best receiver or the best corner in the draft. He shouldn't be going before any other receiver or corner. Will Johnson out of Michigan is better at corner, and Tet McMillan is way better at receiver.
But he'll be a corner in the NFL. That's where, if you watch him play, he's more of a naturally gifted corner. Unless he makes the decision and says, unless he says, I want to play wide receiver mm-hmm. in the NFL, and I'll learn to run routes, then that's what he'll do. I think the biggest – so that's the conversation. And I guess if you look at the teams that are around New England, Vegas, they need – they're ahead of New England right now. They need
– they need a quarterback.
Right. They want Shadur, I bet.
The Patriots, effectively, if the season ended today, Wiggs, mm-hmm. they would basically have the first pick because it's going to go Shadur Sanders and Cam Ward. So you'll be sitting there at 3.
Right.
And if I'm the Patriots, I pull a card out of the Belichick book and I trade back. Because I agree with Shime, Travis Hunter, maybe not overrated to the extent that he says, but you have so many holes that you need to fill. And he's not the best receiver, he's not the best cornerback, and you don't need another cornerback.
Normally I'd agree, Curtis, but as you pointed out, like, I don't trust Elliot Wolf to actually find talent, so I would rather them just take the best player available, which would be at the positions you need, are either Will Campbell out of LSU or Tet McMillan out of Arizona. Like, that's I would rather them just try and fall into another really good player than risk trading back and just drafting a bunch of crap.
But what I would do is
you're fixing the O-line in free agency in your mind.
Yeah, unless you take Will Campbell, right? If you take Will Campbell out of LSU, he's a left tackle. There's your left tackle. Boom. You add a guard in free agency, and hopefully maybe you strike a deal with T. Higgins.
Well, I'm the Wiggins plan, Wiggins-Curtis, if we can co-sign it. I would trade back, get the team's first that you're trading back with, plus a first in the next year's draft, which should be fair.
Right.
And you use one of those to get T. Higgins.
Well, T. Higgins.
But how does T. Higgins' girlfriend feel about the weather here?
Or who is T.
Higgins?
Is he going to
be a free agent?
Well, then sign T. Higgins and use it for Debo.
Debo, he's a potential.
Right.
Debo's a potential guy. There's some issues going on in Philadelphia with A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts.
And he always wanted to play for the Patriots. That video has been circulating.
And granted, you know, the moonshot is Ja'Marr Chase, but you'd say you can't get him. The question becomes, if you're sitting there at number 3, and the two teams ahead of you both take quarterbacks, it's really to what Shime's saying. Is Tetaroa McMillan, the wide receiver out of Arizona, is he a legit plug-and-play potential franchise wide receiver? Same with whoever the offensive lineman is, because there's been some talks of the kid from Texas.
Kelvin Banks.
Yeah, so are they Joe Alt type plug play, this guy can hold that position down for the next 10 years? Or do you feel like we could get somebody like, maybe we could get a guy in free agency that's already an established offensive lineman and get T. Higgins, trade down, and then pick up some multiple picks to add?
You brought up during your lead this morning what Bill has to do legacy-wise when it comes to the point that he can get to in college.
Mm-hmm.
How many games do they have to win next year for Gerard Mayo's job to be secure?
Next year? I think next year he has to be a legitimate playoff contender, right? And he's going to know that based on what happens in free agency. If they don't add any pieces, then he basically knows he's dead man walking, because you're not going to run it back with kind of like the same cast of characters, and maybe you add like minimal pieces here and there and think that you're gonna be able to compete for a playoff spot, right? If you don't get Drake May a legitimate weapon, aren't you just, you know, wasting another great year where you want to see, like, okay, what does this kid, even if it is the kid out of Arizona, what does this kid look like with a top five wide receiver? What does he look like with T. Higgins?
This is Walter from Boston. What's up, Walter?
Hey, T. Higgins should be free next year, because the year that Chase is having, they're going to have to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be like we're saying, it's going to be if Kraft pays the money for this guy. And it's like, Shine's right. If they anyway draft T. Higgins and get that kid from Arizona, all you have to worry about in free agency is offensive line and adding to the defense, because it'll be a game changer. But you guys, the thing I really want to call about, you guys got to understand what Bill's going to be like against them young quarterbacks in the ACC. In the transfer portal, they're showing in this contract that they're going to give like $20 million towards NIL for North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do it. Deion doesn't go in living rooms. Bill doesn't have to do that. His name alone is going to bring – think if you're a 4- or 5-star guy and you're in the transfer portal now and you're a defensive player, what is going to be – he said he's going to be a pipeline to the NFL. I'm a Florida State guy, and I'm scared to death, man. You guys have a good day.
Yeah, I think, you know, it shows us two things. I think I got two things from this. Bill, it wasn't about the Shula record. It's really about coaching,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the second thing I look at is I think Bill is going to be big in the transfer portal, because he's going to look and go, I can get those guys to come in that have, you know, maybe have some experience, that are a little bit older, a little bit more mature, and can handle some of the things that I'm going to present to them, rather than have to maybe waiting for a high school kid who it might take him, you know, a year or two before it clicks.
But you said, remind me in your lead, if he doesn't, if they're not in the bracket
playoffs
at some point.
Yes.
Then it harms his legacy?
It's not that it's going to change his legacy and how we view him, but it's going to – and I heard – and I, like I said, I heard Jones and Keith talking about this, and Curtis always brings it up, and he's right. Brady is winning big when it comes to the Bill Brady conversation.
Ken Laird finally and at last tweeted a capitulation. Chris Curtis officially wins when Bill Belichick signed with North Carolina.
You are.
Sure are, Kenny. Thank you, James.
And so, if he, you now that he's at UNC, if he's able to get that team into the playoffs, people will then look and go, even if he doesn't even win a national championship or even gets there, people will be like, wow, look what Bill was able to do with, you know, a couple years of turning around a basketball school.
Right, right.
And getting them into the college football.
Right, he'll
playoffs.
Be like Deion.
Yeah, he'll be like, and people be like, yep, I mean, even though he didn't win one and he didn't win another Super Bowl, look what he was able to do in college to a program. So that will elevate his status in the, and I know it's a stupid thing, but the Brady v. Belichick will elevate his status, and now he won't be so far behind Brady.
But if he goes there and is somehow able to win a national championship in the next 5 years,
yes,
then you look at he and Tom Brady as being equal in what they accomplished after.
What? I think they'll be.
So if Brady goes and wins a high school championship, it's the same?
No. National.
Greg,
national,
take
national.
It, buddy. It's okay. It's over.
He was locked
out of the NFL for 2 years.
Curtis, that is an also-ran program down there. They get 5,000 people at a football game. Right. If he's able to turn it around.
If you can win a natty.
If you can turn it around. Basketball is, Wiggy's right. Football's the, can you still say red-haired stepchild?
I guess you could.
I mean, if he's able to turn that thing around interest-wise.
If you win a natty.
That's a huge accomplishment, Curtis.
If Bill wins a natty.
Like going to the losingest franchise in NFL history and winning a Super Bowl in your first year.
But think about that. That's what it would kind of represent. You went to a college that is not even on the football landscape and was able to win a national championship. There will be people that have the conversation where it's like, okay, that is something that not many people could say they did that.
Right.
You know,
that's legacy cementing right there.
Right.
All right. We got to take a break.
That's flag planting.
All right. Soon enough, I'm going to tell you to call, and Curtis is going to re-gift like he has never re-gifted before. So our very own Grinch and the 12 days of Chris Curtismas coming up next. Fantastic, Sean. One lamb lollipop, one golden lamb lollipop for whoever did that. That's well done.
My favorite thing on the internet in the last 3 weeks.
You are definitely a Creed stan.
Always and forever.
If there ever was a Creed stan. All right, call now. Time for the 12 days of Chris Curtismas. So pick up your phone and call 617-931-0937. And if you are caller number 9, then our very own Grinch, Chris Curtis, will re-gift everything he can for you right now to make the holidays even better than they already are.
And what I'm already working on for all of you for Christmas is all the people that would get outraged when people would say Nick Saban is a better coach than Bill Belichick because winning in college is so much easier than winning in the pros. But we're going to have a huge Christmas this morning.
Pump the brakes on that one. I think that if Bill's able to win in college, it's harder to do that than when Brady won at Tampa. Because
So you would agree with me on that.
Yeah, because remember, when Brady went to Tampa,
he went to a loaded team.
Yes, very
loaded.
The 2020 Patriots and the 2020 Bucks had the same preseason over-under win-loss total.
But, Curtis, you already know.
You can look it up, Greg, if you'd like.
The Bucks finished.
Seven and nine.
Their defense started to turn the corner.
They were on the come up.
What was the 2019 Patriots schedule?
Record. You had
12-4, I think.
Yep.
You had arguably, and that was with Brady, you had arguably one of, at that point in time, top five wide receivers in the game, and Mike Evans. Chris Godwin was probably, in some people's mind, a top 10, top 12 guy.
It's a good question.
Right.
Like, would what Tom Brady accomplished with the Bucks after leaving here be equaled or bettered if Bill is able to turn that woebegone program into a national champion?
If Bill wins the natty, that's better.
That's
harder to do. Because you go to the right team. If you're a great player like Brady is, and we're not taking nothing away from Brady, but you're a great player like Brady, we think the Jets stink, right? Mm-hmm. If you drop Tom Brady on the Jets roster right now, they are legitimate Super Bowl contender.
So then you're making my point. It was all Tom.
No, but I'm saying it's easy to do.
The defense rests.
But no. If you drop Tom Brady on the Carolina Panthers, he's got no shot of winning the Super Bowl. He won't even. Right. He might not even sniff the playoffs. Mm. You drop Brady on this team.
If Tom Brady had to go play in Germany because the NFL wouldn't have a job for him, it would be irrelevant. Bill Belichick was viewed so negatively by the rest of the NFL that they didn't even offer him a job.
No, I think part
in two coaching cycles.
I think part of the second.
And now you're saying if he wins in North Carolina, it's better than winning a Super Bowl?
I don't think part of the second cycle. I think if Bill was to say, I'll come in and I'll work with somebody, he'd have a job in the NFL.
Exactly.
I don't think it's about him being viewed negatively. It's about these guys not wanting to give up control.
Right. That's all it is.
Viewed negatively that he doesn't have a job?
No. You believe Bill is a great coach and that if Bill just was willing to say, hey, you know what? I'll work with you, GM. He'd be in the NFL tomorrow.
Right. That's my point, is that he has refused to capitulate in any way.
Right.
Well, because that's what he believes is his strategy for success, is he wants to run the entire show.
But it's only one when he's
Had someone. You're making it sound like he's being shut out of the NFL because he's not good enough.
I mean, if you turn on any network in America right now, if you listen to most radio stations, even in this market, that's the story. He was shut out of a job.
But we think on our own. Like, we don't listen to what others are saying. We make the determination ourselves.
Right, and I'm telling you that Bill Belichick was, if we sat here 2 years ago when Robert Kraft fired Bill Belichick, and I said to you, he's not going to get another NFL gig, you would have laughed at me. And if I said he's going to North Carolina, you would have laughed harder. So now that he's there, all of a sudden it's the right move at the right time. I just think it's somewhat revisionist.
No, but we're not saying it's the right move at the right time. We're saying that he's not shut out of the NFL because of his talent. We're saying that team owners in the NFL are hesitant to hire Bill because they know Bill's not going to change who he is when it comes to complete power.
But we had many conversations here where Robert Kraft was ripped, that he got rid of Bill Belichick, and that other teams like the Cowboys, the Bills, were going to make the Patriots pay.
Mm-hmm.
And he never got those opportunities because those teams did not
use... You keep twisting. It's not those teams. Bill won't change.
Right.
That's the reason why.
Exactly. He wouldn't change, and that's why he lost here. That's why he's not getting another job.
He's not getting another job.
He won here. He won more Super Bowls here than anybody else has ever won.
Right. And while you were printing Tommy Traitor shirts, Tommy won a Super Bowl with the Bucks, and
yes,
Bill Belichick
viewed this team absolutely burned to the ground, 4-13. I would never take anything from Tom Brady winning a Super Bowl in a COVID year. But why would you say it was a COVID year? That's why. Exactly. Right. But anyway, all right.
It is harder. If he wins a natty,
we can continue that debate because I want input on it. Let me get. I'm going to regift this puppy here that I got from the Red Sox too. Hello, Rob.
Hey, this is Rob. How are you?
Where are you calling from, Robert?
Guilford, New Hampshire.
All right. Thank you for listening. We will be back. I promise. Next year, 2025, to New Hampshire for at least one, maybe two road shows. So hope to see you there, Chris.
You got to make it up to Lake Winnipesaukee. You guys never come to Lake Winnipesaukee. You make it everywhere other than the best place in the state.
I would love to do a show there, maybe from the floating boat. What's that called? The dive bar? The floating boat?
The dive.
The dive. Yep. I would love to do a show. If anybody's listening from the dive, I would love to do a Friday road. Let's try to target that. Curtis, have you ever been on a floating boat bar?
Not that I remember.
I got to tell you. I can't figure out how they serve food out there, Rob. Like, they have great pizza on the dive.
Well, coincidentally, the owner is a friend of mine, so I could link you up with it.
Okay.
Oh, great. I've been on a floating pool in Lake Como.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Villa d'Este, gorgeous. Jeez. They have a bar there, too.
Complete Euroflex there.
Well, you know, just like Bill, I love Europe.
Okay. All right. What do you have for Rob?
All right. We're going to go with this here. We're going to start out with the best gift, Rob, okay? Because you seem like a nice gentleman. New Hampshire's a lovely place. I'm going to get you a Mac Jones autographed football because I think you seem like a diehard Patriots fan, and it may be the last one. So make sure you hold on to that tightly. And guess what, Shime?
Another one.
Thank you very much. I have $100 for the 110 gift card. $100 gift card to the 110 Grill, if I could speak English.
Great
restaurant. It has an awesome menu. A little twist on most things, and they're usually better than the places you've had them before.
Yep, absolutely.
DJ?
Another one.
I have two tickets to Linkin Park at the TD Garden on August 1st.
Ooh.
Awesome, awesome.
Amazing.
That's a great show.
This is almost gluttony at this point, but DJ?
Another one.
Sorry, it's DJ Kelly. I have two tickets to see Josh Allen and Josh Allen's next 2.0. coming 2.0 in Drake May at Gillette Stadium on January 5th to catch the Patriots and the Bills.
This is pretty good.
Oh, so exciting. Yeah. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
And,
wow.
And thanks to the remarkable generosity, the joie de vie of Greg Hill.
Yeah.
I have one more gift that comes to you thanks to the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, look at this.
Another one.
Look at this thing. I got this yesterday. I want to thank the troop and everybody over at Red Sox Nation for this gift. It is, if you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, you can see it. So it's this 20-year box celebrating, obviously, the 04 team. And when you open this up, which is very complicated here, you have got a couple. It's a multimedia type thing. So when you open it up, you've got three baseballs.
All right.
And you, can you hear?
Yep, I can hear it.
Can you hear? Okay, all right. So
oh, that's amazing.
You get the full multimedia thing. And you got a ball here signed by Curtis. Should we reveal who both of these balls are signed
yeah,
by?
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, on the Mount Rushmore of most unsung heroes in Boston sports history is Keith Foulke. The guy gave up his career in the 04 postseason throwing 30 pitches a night for it felt like 2 weeks straight. That's an autograph. And then the World Series MVP of the 2007 Red Sox, Mike Lowell autographed baseball, so pretty cool.
So that's your display apparatus, so you can put that up wherever you want to put it, right up next to your...
Thank you so much.
If you're like Wiggy, right next to your faux fireplace and your faux candles. All right, Rob, thanks for listening
to the
show. It is a Bruins Thursday. Mike Milbury joins us next.